The game is fun. The game is a battle. If it's not fun, why bother? If it's not a battle, where's the fun? It's a test that you pass or a quest that you fail. A race against time. Fun and battle always locked together. But the game is also something else. It's a journey, a passport to new worlds, maybe even an odyssey. A look, a feel, an exploration. Close your focus and open your mind. Yes, the journey requires the right ticket, and that ticket is Nintendo Switch. But in the end, it's not just where you can take your game. It's where your game can take you. So let's go.
What's up, everybody? It is N-Express E3 edition. We couldn't be more excited. Patrick, you and I are downtown in LA right now as we speak, so that's a change. We also have Ryan Kapiowski joining us as well.
Hello.
And Ricky, you're back where you're from in Canada, so a little less exciting. Not everyone's here, but still.
What's up, Tim? You know what's crazy is that Patrick and I were at the same airport. We could have actually met.
There are two terminals at the Minneapolis airport. Rick was in Terminal 1, and I was in Terminal 2. And those two things are not connected. So we could not. We could just only wave at each other as our planes took off. That was about it.
Like ships passing in the night.
But what's crazy is my plane got delayed, which was kind of good because I kind of got drunk at the bar watching the NBA game. But I could have maybe, like, I guess not, because your plane would have taken off. But I was in Cali for, like, a week, and I should have been at E3, but that's not happening. But you guys are there, so that's all good. So this is episode 99, guys. We got one more episode till we hit the big 100. I'm stoked. So this is part one of our part two E3 coverage, and we got a lot to talk about.
No, there's so much to talk about, because not only did Nintendo supply us tons of fodder for discussion, just a really good presentation overall, but then we got some hands-on with some of the biggest games of the year. So why don't we go ahead and start off. First of all, we just have to say it, Patrick, I met you for the first time. That is cool.
Yeah, that was very cool. We were wondering, I was wondering if I would even recognize you, because the only picture I've ever really seen of you is when we're on your Skype photo when we're doing the podcast, and you're wearing sunglasses in that, so it makes it kind of tough, Tim.
Yeah, which I always forget, and so didn't have them today, so it made a little harder on you, but luckily I was wearing a pretty bright rave green Sounders jersey, which I think made it a little easy.
Definitely. So that was fun. I got to meet you and Ryan for the first time. It was very, very cool. Missing Rick. The Avengers didn't quite assemble.
Guys, I love the United States. I need to go back soon, and I want to go to Seattle, Tim, because I met a really good friend over in LA. In Cali. I wasn't in LA. And she invited me over to Seattle, so who knows? Maybe soon.
If you're ever in the area, let me know. You can come hang out with me. You can even stay at my place if you want. That would be a ton of fun. Because, you know, you podcast with people long enough, and they just feel like friends. They feel like family, and so it was huge getting to meet Patrick. So special thanks to E3 for making that all happen.
Yeah, I mean, if you come up to Seattle, I'll definitely drive up to meet you.
Awesome. And a special thanks to Nintendo for listening to our podcast and giving it everything we wanted except for maybe Animal Crossing. Because, dude, did I not call it again?
Dude, that was actually, of all the prognostications you've made, Rick, I never thought the 2 Metroid thing would ever be real. That one was never going to come true.
Right? But that's the only thing that came true. And it did. That alone is pretty nuts. We didn't know for certain right away that it was 2 Metroids because of the whole actual direct and then the Treehouse coverage. But damn, they got both in there.
But yo, can I just say that in the last show when we did our E3 predictions, I was like, you know, even a title card, just Metroid Prime 4, that's all we need. And that's all they gave us. And I even said, you know, they could also give us an extra Metroid during the Treehouse event, which is exactly what they did. So, okay, so the Metroid Prime 4, let's be honest, it's just a title card. But, you know, they also said they are focusing on games that are going to get released in 2017, 2018. Chances are we're going to get Metroid Prime 4 in 2018. I'm looking at maybe November, October. I'm kind of surprised. Super Mario Odyssey is getting released earlier than I thought. So we can't really talk about Metroid Prime 4 apart from the fact that we're just all stoked because we only got the title card. But did you guys watch the Treehouse event? Because, man, the Metroid 2D looks fantastic.
Now, going back a second, wasn't Metroid 4 announced that it wasn't Retro doing it, though?
Yeah, so there is...
There's a bit of news there that a different studio is handling the fourth installment of Metroid Prime.
Yeah, and they're saying that it's a talented new studio. You know, the thing with Retro, though, is most of the people who worked, or at least a lot of the key people who worked on the Prime franchise are gone from Retro anyway. So maybe they weren't the best. I mean, I think Nintendo Retro was, at one point, you know, a relative unknown when they did Metroid Prime. So hopefully Nintendo knows what this talented new developer is doing with it. But yeah, as far as Metroid, the 2D Metroid, it does look awesome. And my hope is that we're going to get to play it tomorrow when we have a meeting with Nintendo.
Right. So the thing is, this is part one of our two-part special, and you guys are going to be meeting with Nintendo for about an hour. So we're not going to talk too much Metroid today. Unless you guys have something to say about it right now.
No, just that it looks super good. Like, that 3DS title looks so promising and action-packed. And I have wanted a 2D Metroid almost more than a 3D Metroid for a long time now. So it's really cool to see that come true. And now my 3DS is even more stunning of a collection.
And we're getting two amazing Metroid amiibo. I mean, those amiibo look like the best amiibo I've seen so far, hands down.
Took some pictures for you, Rick, that I need to send you because I was like, man, these amiibo look so sharp.
Oh man, you got to send it to me ASAP because I'm putting all the photos on Instagram. Actually, Ryan sent me a few pics of the Super Mario Odyssey amiibo. They look so good, but the Metroid ones look solid. They look sweet.
Oh yeah, and Ryan posed next to the Super Mario amiibo. It's about 6 feet tall and pretty fluffy, I think.
So yeah, yes. dreams came true. Ryan met Mario. That was fun.
Right, finally, you know, living the dream. But I thought I was gonna have to wait until Nintendo.
But the presentation delivered a couple more dreams beyond just Metroid Prime 4 and 2D Metroid. It supplied us with a ton of new news, including. Why don't we just start it off with one of the first things they showed? One of the biggest online games right now. Rocket League is coming to the Switch. Am I the only one that's stoked beyond reason for that?
No, I'm really excited that they're bringing in Rocket League and they're doing the same thing that they're doing with Minecraft where it is going to be cross-play with everything, and that's huge.
Yeah, that's a huge selling point.
Look, clearly Nintendo really wants to get into esports. I mean, look at Splatoon, look at ARMS. Now they got Rocket League. I mean, I've already got Rocket League on the PlayStation 4, but I'm totally going to get it on the Switch. Why? Because I can play on the go. I don't have to stay in my living room. Totally excited for that. I'm actually kind of surprised they open up with the montage. I think Nintendo stole the show. I watched the Sony press conference. When I came home, I watched a Microsoft press conference. And they all had some good points, they all had some bad points, but I don't see anything bad with the Nintendo presentation. I thought it was solid, it was tight. We didn't get like a 20-minute like Super Mario Maker montage with people dancing. They were on the ball, on point. They also announced Pokemon, and I know it's just a verbal announcement, but you know what? That's what they need to do. They need to reassure their fans that like come 2018, you're going to get Metroid Prime. You're going to get like Pokemon. You're going to get these games for the Switch. And Pokemon's huge, and just that announcement, which lasted like maybe like 5 seconds, we're making a Pokemon game for the Switch, is huge. Huge. Like when you know they're going to have a Pokemon Direct eventually just to showcase that game. But like, okay, so Tim, I got to ask because you're like the biggest Pokemon fan I know. So what kind of Pokemon game do you want to see on a Switch? Do you think this is going to be like sort of like Pokemon Stars Or do you think it's going to be something completely different, like Pokemon Snap? Or do you think it's going to be something tied into Pokemon Go?
You know what? Actually, they said main series RPG. So that means we are either getting a continuation of a current generation, like Pokemon Stars, for instance, continuing Sun, Moon, and Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. But I highly doubt that. It could be a remake, which would be Diamond and Pearl, whatever they decide to call that, probably like Superior Diamond and Ultra Deluxe Pearl or something. But what I'm kind of anticipating, and I don't want to put anyone's hopes up, is they're accelerating the rate at which they create new generations. And I would not be surprised if, as is their trend, they tried to make the first game on the Switch a brand new generation, which would mean, you know, within 2 or 3 years, we have already moved beyond Sun and Moon, and that could be really, really cool and exciting. So, yeah, that's kind of what I'm expecting to happen.
It was just good that they said that. I mean, like you're saying, reassuring your fans that there's going to be stuff later on for them. I don't like this idea of like, oh, we're only going to announce what we're showing this year because that's what we can actually, what you'll actually be playing soon. I like to know that you have something in development. I think that the way they went about that today was perfect. They showed a perfect mix of games that will come in 2017, 2018, and maybe beyond. So
I think in the past on the podcast, like, we've criticized, for example, like Sony for announcing too many games that are only going to come out in the next 5 to 10 years. But it's when you go to an extreme, like, there was a nice balance. Like, there is a mention of like Pokemon, and we got the Metroid Prime 4 like title card, and those are only two titles, and they only really spent about like a total of maybe 30 seconds, you know. So that's not bad. It's not like they spent like 30 minutes showing not even footage, but just like posters or images of games that won't be getting released for the next 3 years. And it just seemed like when he was announcing Pokemon, he made it sound like it's going to come out within the next year and a half. Like, it's not going to take like 3, 5, 10 years, you know? So I don't know. I think Nintendo stole the show. I think they had the best presentation. And I mean, they also gave us like footage of a new Kirby game and a new Yoshi game.
Kirby on the Switch. I mean, that's Kirby awesome. On the Switch. I can't believe there's a Kirby side-scrolling Kirby on the Switch.
That's, yeah, and I knew, I was telling you guys in Slack, they're going to have to do something with Kirby because it's his 25-year anniversary. And I know there's a lot of Kirby games that got released recently, but it's 25 years, and they need these characters to come on the Switch. I mean, this is their system. This is when Nintendo gets back at the top of the game. You know, I have no doubt that the Nintendo Switch can outsell the Wii. Guaranteed. It can. Hands down. Especially, like, when Pokemon gets on a system, I mean, look how many units the 3DS sold. People want a handheld system.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, with Pokemon, that is like that firm franchise that has continuously been like a super hard hitter for Nintendo on handhelds. And that, like, that it's going to be on the Switch for certain now just establishes, yes, we have an actual portable, like a handheld home console, if you will. And that's huge. It's already, like, not only is it selling well, not only is everyone speaking positively about it, but Nintendo and other side companies like Game Freak, like Pokemon Company, are doing everything to reassure us that the dream is very alive and very true. Like, it was honest. We're actually getting what we wanted with it.
Well, yeah, this felt like Nintendo was finally listening to people and being like, we know you want Metroid, we know you want Pokemon. We're not ready to show you anything, but we are working on it. We, like, please stop bugging us about it. These things are happening. Just give us a bit more time.
There's power in just the announcement of Metroid Prime 4. And, you know, it's, some people might think, like, oh, of course, there was always going to be another Metroid Prime. Well, it's been 10 years since the last one. There was never a guarantee that there was going to be another Metroid Prime. So it's so gratifying to learn that there is going to be one. I don't even care that they didn't show anything. But the bottom line is, this conference was just full of confidence. Nintendo had confidence to just show games. That's what they did. There was no fluff in this thing. It was my worry when they said it was going to be only 30 minutes was that we'd have a lot of talking heads who were going to be going on about how great the Switch is and talking about Joy-Cons, and then we'd see a lot of Mario Odyssey and we would see very little of anything else. Well, that wasn't the case. They just showed games over and over and over again. They didn't talk to us much. Reggie was barely on. It was perfect because it showed like they know what they're doing. It didn't come across as a company who's pleading with you to like their system. It came across as a company who knows you like their system, and this is what we've got lined up for it.
Mm-hmm. I was also right in saying that they would not show anything for Smash because that would kill ARMS, and they did not. And I'm kind of glad they didn't focus on, like, say, like, Wii U ports. Like, we know they mentioned Pokken Tournament DX, whatever it's called, which, to be fair, they announced the week before, which, by the way, listeners, we did record a podcast, but because of technical issues, it was lost. So that whole Pokemon Direct podcast is somewhere God knows where on the online, but we can't find it. So we never really talked about that. So let me just quickly talk about Pokken Tournament on the Nintendo Switch. I am super excited about that announcement because I love that game. And I've been turning on my Wii U ever since I got my Switch only to play Pokken Tournament and Smash. And so I've been playing a lot of Wii U, even within the past like few weeks, just because of those two games. And just to know that I can actually play this game on my Switch now, and also we're getting five more characters. Plus, I don't know if you guys have ever played like multiplayer in the same room, but it gets really weird because someone has to stare at the actual gamepad while the second person stares at the television screen. It's not like that with the Switch, man. With the Switch, that problem is resolved. So to me, it's like the better version of Pokken Tournament. It's the version that I personally want. And like, I mean, taking the Switch to the airport and being like on a plane playing that game, playing on that system, like I want to play games like Pokken Tournament and Smash and Mario Kart, etc., etc. So hands down, I'm gonna buy that game. The question is, I don't know if I want to get rid of my original copy, you know, trade it in for money because I am a collector, but I'm super stoked about that.
Yeah, same. I think I want more time with the game. I want to take the time to master some more characters. They're adding some of my personal favorites. Empoleon's pretty high up there. I really like Decidueye, the new grass starter from Sun Moon. But most importantly, my favorite Pokemon of all time, Darkrai, is being added. So I cannot wait to give him a shot. I'll probably play that tomorrow just because I'm excited to play him. It's a cool opportunity. For those that missed it on the Wii U, just pick it up. It's awesome.
No. No, I don't. I'm not a big fighting game fan, but it's obviously something that you guys really liked. For me, it was on the show floor today. It was one of the few Nintendo games that I didn't get, that I didn't actually play. I'm not a fighting guy. I'm terrible at those games. I don't really like them, but it's always a good announcement.
I'm on the other side of the fence where I picked it up for the Wii U and I just can't justify throwing more money at it. I didn't have enough fun with it the first time around, so I think I'm going to skip it on the Switch.
So here's the thing, okay? So Metroid Prime, I think, was like the biggest announcement, but I think the thing that left me most satisfied was all of the footage we got of Xenoblade 2, and not just during the Treehouse, but in the actual Nintendo Digital Direct. Like, I did not think that the game would even be ready. It's going to get released in 2017, guys.
Yeah, I know. I'm shocked. I think everybody in the world assumed that one, the North American version, especially, and European version, was going to be delayed, but it's not. Apparently, it's they said holiday 2017,
and it looks amazing.
Yeah,
it does. Really, it looks fantastic. It looks amazing. The Metroid, like, I was watching last year, I watched most of the Treehouse, but I was sending out emails, working on the website. It was like background viewing, right? Today, I could not take my eyes off the Treehouse event for like the first like 3 hours, because they showed all of the footage of Metroid and then they showed all of the footage of Xenoblade, and I was just like, oh my god, this is like amazing. And the thing is, like, we were worried, like we said this a few weeks ago, like, what are we going to review for like the rest of the year? Like, we know we have Odyssey coming out, but we thought Odyssey would come out like in December, and now it's coming out in October. And when does Xenoblade come out? Like November?
They just said holiday for Xenoblade. They didn't actually give a date, but they just said holiday 2017.
I just assume that they're going to release it in November for Thanksgiving.
I would think so, too. I think that makes the most sense. But it could happen in December, just before Christmas. We'll see. It all depends on how fast they get, all the localization and things like that.
Well, they probably want to split it from Mario Odyssey got a release date today, which is the 27th of October. So they probably want some distance from that. So it'd have to be later November, I think.
I don't know, man. I think 30 days is enough time to finish Mario Odyssey. And
Ricky. I don't know if you haven't played it.
So. We'll get to that. But okay. I don't think 3 days might not be enough to finish.
No, I said 30 world. Days, not 3 days.
Oh, 30 days. Okay.
30 days. I mean, come on. We put in 175 hours into the last Zelda game, and we did it in like a week or two.
Me, I put in 200 hours over the course of like,
that's because you're trying to find all the stupid seeds, dude. That's nuts.
And like, I did. I 100%ed everything.
You know what? Game. You should have just waited for them to release the Korok mask. It tells you where they are.
That's just cheating.
No, it's not. It's part of the game.
And they talked about the Zelda DLC, and you know what? That actually, their whole like trials thing kind of looks cool to me. I usually hate the trials in Zelda, but this one actually looks pretty interesting. I like the way that they've made the combat. It isn't like you're just falling through floor after floor of a cave just fighting random enemies. It looks like you're actually going to be tasked with doing interesting things, fighting many different enemies in different ways.
They just gave us another reason to put in like 100 hours into the best game of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what else could you ask for from the Direct apart from Animal Crossing?
Dude, and the Champions DLC, I mean, I think we know what that's going to be. It's going to be in the past, and you're going to, like, be around all those champions.
Dude, like, how am I going to fit all these amiibo into my room? I have no more room on my shelf.
Yeah, I don't have any more money, Nintendo. I don't have any more money. Stop.
We need a stop-motion movie of amiibo movie from you. You're going to have way too much. You're going to have to just start making the next Legend of Zelda in stop motion with all the Zelda amiibo you have. I'm actually really big. You know, the Yoshi game was a big surprise to me. And that looked really cool. The sort of paper aesthetic. I like that. It's kind of like they mixed Paper Mario with Yoshi, with Yarn Yoshi. And they gave us this cool little thing. Just another little bonus. Like all these little cute platformers, I'm totally digging them. And this one thing. I love Nintendo didn't show any like indies or any third party kind of stuff. This is all third party, and there was a lot of it.
Yeah, well, the only third party stuff they showed was at the beginning of the intro, like they showed FIFA and Rocket League.
Yeah, but, they're just a couple.
I'm assuming they're going to show some stuff tomorrow. I'm not sure if they're going to do an indies sort of like event eventually. Like, you know, they usually do like an indies direct, but we did get one not too long ago. But the thing about the actual digital event, apart from the DLC for Zelda, because Zelda, of course, was released on the Wii U and the Switch, I don't think they showed anything for like the 3DS, right?
They did not.
It was intentionally all Switch, a constant stream of games that are very evenly paced. You know, this year we got Zelda in March, and then we're getting ARMS and Mario Kart, and then we're getting Splatoon soon after, and then we're ending the year with Mario Odyssey on top of some bonus games like Mario plus Rabbids that we didn't see coming. And so it's just like a very fleshed out year, and I think that that's what 2018 already looks like. It looks like a very promising year already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta tell you, the only negative thing I have to say is that I'm not really interested in the Ubisoft Mario Rabbids game at all. I'm glad it exists, I guess. Yeah, that game, just I have no interest in that game.
So I'm kind of with you, Rick, in that I don't the rabbit style game. It's not my game. It's like I'm not big into the XCOM type stuff. I'm not big into the tactical strategy based, you know, shooter type things. I guess it's not really a shooter, but you know, I've played Fire Emblem, and of course, this is something somewhat similar to Fire Emblem, but there's a lot more elements involved. And I don't know. I played Codename Steam, which this reminds me a lot of, and I really, really did not like a lot about that game. I am willing to give this one a shot if. I mean, I'm at least going to try it out. Let's put it that way. I'm gonna try it out probably tomorrow or you know during the week here and see if I kind of like what it's doing. My guess is that because it's Mario, it's going to be a little bit on the easier side. Although who knows? It's Ubisoft; they could do whatever they want to do. But yeah, it's great that it exists. Though Nintendo doesn't always need to make games that I want to play. I want to see them make games that people want to play.
Yeah, you know what has me more excited? And I just noticed this. There's actually amiibo for Koopa Troopa and Goomba. I had no idea. We can actually get the Goomba amiibo and somehow tie it into like our website.
Which should we
Wait,
should
you're,
do?
You're more excited for an amiibo than a new game?
I'm more excited for the amiibo over the Mario Rabbids game, yeah.
Oh, man, that's a mistake. That game was like amazing. I loved every second that I saw of it.
Yeah, and I actually got to play it too. So more on that later.
I will say that I'm looking at screenshots now of the Yoshi game, and it looks gorgeous. And actually, I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up being like the best Yoshi game we ever get. In terms of like the art direction and the colors and the palette, it's up there with the last Yoshi game, Yoshi's Woolly World. Now, man, is this game like a two-player game? Do we know?
Yes, it is two players.
Yeah, and it definitely looks, they showed two players in the actual trailer, so that was, you know, pretty encouraging. I'm just hoping that single player is fine, obviously, as well, but I love the whole dynamic of switching back and forth to this sort of diorama world. Everything's miniature. It looks like you're in a child's playroom or something like that. Very cool aesthetic. I love when Nintendo does sort of these tactile games.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess the only thing I've left to say is that my biggest takeaway, again, like, I think the biggest highlight for me was the footage of Xenoblade. And I just love the art direction, like, even the costume designs. Like, I'm staring at these screenshots, and it just looks fantastic. Like, in terms of, like the quote-unquote cinematography, like, the backgrounds, the colors, the palettes, the environments, the landscapes, the characters, the way they dress, the fashion, everything about this game just looks right up my alley. This is the game I'm most excited for. And to be totally honest with you guys, I love Super Mario, and Odyssey looks fantastic, and I'm sure you guys are going to tell us about it after the break, but this is the game I'm most excited for.
I'm a lot more excited for it than I was originally, because we didn't see a whole lot of it before. I mean, it was the trailer that it had, but I was glad that it was coming, and I enjoyed Xenoblade X quite a bit. But this one looks like it's polished even more. And I'm looking forward to this one a lot. It's just another big adventure to play. I mean, I'll be done with I'll have Zelda DLC at that point. That'll keep me busy, you know, holiday 2017. But I'm sure Xenoblade will keep me busy well into 2018.
All right. So does anyone have any closing thoughts before we actually get to the show floor and you guys can actually tell us about it and I can pick your brains about the actual gameplay? In terms of the actual event, I think it was a solid digital presentation from Nintendo. I don't think they did anything wrong. It would have been nice if we got Animal Crossing, but who knows? There's always tomorrow, and there's always room in the future for a Nintendo Direct. Apart from that, you know, it would have been nice if we got an F-Zero. I would like to see Star Fox make a comeback, but I think it's going to take forever because the last game didn't do too good. Is there anything that you wish you could have seen that we didn't get? Anything that you didn't like? And any closing remarks? I'll start with Tim.
For me, I got just about all I needed. I think that they didn't want to overload it with games that are coming too far off. And so for something like Animal Crossing, it very well could come out in 2018. But maybe it's not time to show that off. We need to get Mario out of the door before we can move into the other franchises, including there's a rumor of Pikmin 4. Like, maybe we just need a bit more time before that happens. Personally, I want Luigi's Mansion 3 down the road. But if these are things that are announced next E3, that might be fine because we do have a very full year of great Nintendo titles. And I actually disagree, Ricky. I think they ended on just the right note with really seeing how Odyssey is going to play and that new feature of being possessed by a hat and then possessing other creatures through the hat, I think is awesome. So
wait, so what do you disagree with?
Just that you said Xenoblade looks like the best game of the year, and I'm going to say, or that you're looking to for the rest of the year. And I'm going to say, no, Odyssey looks like a 10 out of 10, knock it out of the park kind of title. And I'll share my impressions after the break.
I have no doubt that Super Mario Odyssey might be one of the two best games of the year. I'm just more excited for Xenoblade because, you know, Mario is Mario, and we go back to Galaxy and the last Mario game for the Wii U and the 64 version. They're all fantastic games. So I'm not saying it's a bit of this. I'm not saying it's the same old game over and over. It's a bit of the same, a lot of new, but it's still a Mario game. Whereas Xenoblade, I'm not counting Xenoblade Chronicles X because A, I didn't play it, and B, a lot of people weren't too hot on it. But it's been a while since Xenoblade came out. And it's like, I guess the reason why I'm so like excited and hotly anticipating that game is because I don't know, I kind of need a game like that on my Switch. Like, I need Mario, but I don't know, man. I'm excited for all these games. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. It's great. I'm trying to find something negative to say, and I can't, which is good, don't get me wrong, but yeah,
you know, here's the thing. The way that I look at this thing is like, okay, you know the great filmmaker Howard Hawks, Rick. I don't know if the other two do, but he had a great saying once. He said the recipe for a fantastic movie is to have three great scenes and no bad ones, which very few movies can accomplish, but Nintendo's presentation today did. It had Metroid, it had Mario, it had Xenoblade. There's your three great ones, and it had no bad ones. And that's how I...
That was a Jean-Luc Godard quote first.
That's Howard Hawks, baby.
No, I'm gonna have to Google this. I'm pretty sure Godard said it first.
Well, one of them, they were contemporaries. One of them could have stolen it from the other one. But the bottom line is this was a very solid presentation all the way from top to bottom. just very solid. I'm not going to be get into the whole thing of like, this was the greatest, Nintendo's greatest E3 show ever. I don't think it was. It wasn't loaded with like monster fireworks, but it had three great things and no bad ones. It was about as solid as Nintendo could ever get for a presentation like this. So, I mean, it obviously they did a good job. Whoever won E3 doesn't really matter to me at this point. Nintendo's kind of playing in a different game anyway. So they did a good job with what they needed to do.
Well, here's the thing. I think Nintendo's doing a really smart move by making a game for every person. Like, there is a fighting game coming out. There's a racer that just came out. We're having a huge JRPG coming out at the end of the year. They showed off a platformer. We're getting more Metroid. Like, everything that you could want, they're like at least giving you one of each type of game. And that's big. And so, like, while some of these games might not be for you, they're for someone out there. Mm-hmm.
So what's out there for you, buddy? What were you personally excited by?
I mean, at first it was definitely Xenoblade because I love my JRPGs, but you know, we'll get to hands-on and I fell in love with this Mario, so more on that later.
Yeah. So I think that does it for they didn't even call it the digital presentation, or what did they call it? Like special
spotlight
preview. It was the spotlight. Thank you. Okay, new name, new year, good year, can't complain. But that does it for the Nintendo Spotlight. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to give hands-on impressions of multiple games that we got the opportunity to play, including Super Mario Odyssey, so don't go anywhere. Come on! Here we go, off the rails, but you know it's time to raise our sails. It's freedom like you never knew. Any bags or a pass, say the word, I'll be there in a flash. You could say my hat is off to you. Oh, we can zoom all the way to the moon. Oh, this great, wide, wacky world. Jump with me, grab coins with me, oh yeah. Welcome back to N-Express. We are at our second segment of the day and final of the day. We're going to give hands-on impressions of the games that we actually played on the showroom floor at E3, including Super Mario Odyssey. So, Rick, you have a lot of questions for us, I know. Go ahead and fire away.
Okay, well, my first question doesn't have anything to do with the actual games, but just E3 itself. For anyone who hasn't gone, such as myself, how's it like when you get there? How's the vibe? Is it crowded? Do you wait in line for too long? Is it expensive? Is it hot? Because I went to California, it was freezing cold. And you guys say Canadians are, like, freezing cold out here. I was like, you guys are crazy. It's, like, 40 degrees here, and that's Celsius. And in California, it's, like, minus 10. So, like, what's the actual, like, atmosphere like?
Well, it's nice. It's pretty nice in LA right now. It's, you know, upper 70s, lower 80s kind of thing. So the temperature is almost perfect, you know, and it cools down at night to the 60s. This is Fahrenheit, obviously. So it's nice here. The showroom floor is just jam packed with people, especially Nintendo's booth, which we spent most of our time at today. It's just absolutely loaded. You are standing in line more than you are playing games. We were there for 6 hours, and I can say maybe I played an hour's worth of actual game.
Yeah, I think Before we move on, I've attended 2 years now. 1 year where it was just press and exhibitors, and another year where it was also open to the public. I believe there was 15,000 public attendees, and the repercussions were drastic from what I can tell so far. The worst wait I had last year was Zelda, which was 3 hours, and that ensured that a lot of people were constantly waiting for that game, but that allowed for other games to have, you know, less waits. And the highest wait beyond Zelda was probably an hour, and that's very manageable. Mario Odyssey's wait was about 3. I waited about an hour and a half for Rabbids. And Patrick, how long did you have to wait for Warriors?
Warriors, I got lucky. I kind of snuck in, and Warriors was the longer one of the two. It was maybe about an hour. Sonic Forces, I got in, boom, right away. Nobody's waiting for that one, so I took it. But I played like the Splatoon Salmon Rush. That took an hour. I couldn't believe it, just to play a mode in Splatoon 2.
So clearly there's more people at the event this year. So then...
It's packed.
It's packed.
It's horrible.
I mean, look, I really want to go to E3 just to meet you guys in person, but my fear was just going to E3 and spending most of my time standing in line, because it's a pretty expensive trip, especially for me coming from Montreal. So yeah, that's what I figured it would be like. Now, I guess my question for you is, let's start with... Actually, I just wanted to kind of know, like, okay, so you wait in line for about an hour and a half to 3 hours. How long do you get to play with the game? Because with Zelda, you got about 20 minutes last year. So say with Mario, how long did you get to play this game for?
Mario was only a 10-minute demo.
10-minute demo, and you waited 3 hours. Yep. Wow. Okay. So let's start with Sonic, because everyone knows I'm not the biggest Sonic fan, although I'm trying to warm up to the blue character. So how's Sonic like?
I like that you're withholding Mario Odyssey right now. Sonic was okay. So basically, I played three different modes on Sonic. The first was just sort of a boss battle. It was a side scrolling deal. It felt like classic Sonic in many ways. The second was more of the, you know, I guess it was sort of a mix of the 3D and 2D stuff. So it's flying forward. You know, what was that Sonic for the Dreamcast? Oh no, that was an open world one. But this one was, you're kind of racing along a path and you're, you know, doing whatever. It's okay. I mean, it had me intrigued. I could play it for one thing, because I have picked up Sonic games in the last 10 years, and the gameplay alone is enough for me to be like, nope, not buying this thing. This one, at least, I could play it. That felt good for a 3D Sonic game. So it was playable. I kind of liked what was going on. I feel like I could master a game like this. I feel like that it is something that I could definitely get better at, because I sucked. Even though at the end of the stage, somehow I got graded an A. I was absolutely terrible. Mostly I was listening to the Nintendo rep talk, and I was just sort of dying constantly or losing rings or whatever. But it at least felt responsive enough, and I kind of understood what was going on, even though it was really fast-paced. You know, it's a Sonic game. It's all fireworks. But I liked it. It was good. It was colorful. I think it has a nice mix of 3D, 2D going on. So, it's not going to compete with their Sonic Mania that's just full-on classic 2D. But it's got a nice little balance.
Okay, and what would you say was the game you played that you're least interested in buying?
Sonic.
See what I did there? See why I started with Sonic?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're a huge Sonic fan, maybe, I guess. I'll try it
Are
out
there
some
such
more.
Things?
They used to exist, yes.
Actually, Harry, who writes for us over at Goombastomp, one of our writers, Harry, he wrote this amazing 3-part article in which he reviewed the entire history of Sonic. He's a huge fan of Sonic. I've talked about this on the podcast. I hated Sega as a kid. I never liked Sonic. But yeah, it's one of those games where I was trying to decide if I wanted to buy it to give him one more shot. And now you're telling me it's like probably your least favorite game on the show floor. And you're playing it on the show floor. So I'm assuming just being there in that environment should make you like a game more, like just feeding off of the energy from the crowd and whatnot.
Not necessarily. I mean, you have to consider that we are waiting in line for anything. And so like, often the response will be the opposite. You'll be like, hey, I waited, even if it's a short wait, 15 minutes to play this 10-minute demo, and this is all I got. Like, that happens as well. So,
I mean, it's definitely, look, the best that I can say is, like, it is the one I'm looking forward to the least of all the games. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and be like, oh my God, yes, Sonic was awesome. I just can't. But it was, for a Sonic game to even be mildly intriguing, is a step in the right direction for that series, for me, for me personally. And it was mildly intriguing. I'll at least give it that. I did not hate what I played, and it wasn't like I came in there with, you know, any sort of good feelings towards Sonic, that's for sure, because I'm just not a fan. I tried Lost World and just thought it was so yeah.
Patrick, you're not selling me on Sonic. Now let's see if Ryan can sell me on Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle from Ubisoft, which looks like a playful mashup of the Mushroom Kingdom, turn-based combat adventure, right? And I think this game is getting released soon, like in August. So, Ryan, why should I play this game? Why should I be interested?
I mean, it adds so much to Mario, and like allowing you to have that tactical feel. Like, it is a completely different Mario game, and I feel like that's what they're going with Mario. Like, they're doing different things with the hat in Odyssey, and then this is going to be another like way to change up how Mario plays, to be able to bounce off of your team, to move across the map further and get like better tactical advantage, changes how you do like combat like that. So while you do have it like resembling Fire Emblem, it plays completely different. I was a huge fan of this just because I love the strategy games like Final Fantasy Tactics, and this is like, it's a labor of love like Hyrule Warriors was, where it's like you're taking an established IP and then you're mixing it up a little bit and you're changing how it plays. And that, I think, is what is the appeal to this, is if you like Mario and you like tactical games, this is like your dream come true.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with Ryan. You know, like I was excited by it, I guess, like more intrigued. I'll give Patrick's terminology. I was intrigued by it and I wanted to give it a shot and see how it was, and it was really good. It was really enjoyable. I played 20 minutes of it, and that was enough to sell me on the concept. Ryan's right. It's very mobile. You can jump off of your teammates, which is a cool mechanic I've never seen. It's got that range element, sort of like SteamWorld Dig or something, for any sort of comparison. It's not necessarily that you have to be right next to the other people, you know, for Fire Emblem fans. So there is like a cool range element that you get to play with. There's a cover system that works really, really well. If you run up to the rabbits, you can attack them and then continue to move. And so that's really cool. And then, like Ryan said, it is a labor of love. They do incorporate small things from the Mario world that it shows that they were paying attention not only to their own brand, Ubisoft's brand, the rabbits brand. It's not just like new stuff thrown into Mario. And a clash of two IPs. It was more like, how can we have fun with this idea? And so you can do things like go down warp pipes and warp to other parts on the map, and you can gradually upgrade. And all of it was very Mario themed, and it felt like a Mario overworld while you're playing on these tactics stages. So it was really cool. I really liked it a lot.
Patrick, did you play this?
I did not. I watched Tim play it towards the end there. When I walked up to him, I had come from somewhere else, but I didn't play it. I tried waiting in line for it, but at that point, I had just gotten through the 3-hour wait for Mario Odyssey, and I needed to find somewhere that didn't have to wait quite as long. When I went up to it, I think it was. But Tim, you said you waited about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
I couldn't do that. Couldn't do it.
Well, okay. Yeah. Tim only got to play two games because he did Odyssey and then Rabbids, and the wait times was so long that, you know, you only got to see the two games that entire day.
Yeah.
We know we're getting the first mainline Kirby game for Nintendo Switch. I know it wasn't available for you guys to play. I don't think the game's even finished, but did they show anything on the show floor for Kirby's game? Because from my understanding, you can play up to 4 players on this game, like it's a co-op game, right?
No, they didn't show... Yeah, it looks like it is, but they didn't show a single thing. What we got on the show floor was, I think I can name it all. We got Mario Odyssey, Mario plus Rabbids, FIFA 18, Sonic, Fire Emblem Heroes, Splatoon 2, ARMS, and Pokken, and I believe that's it.
Okay, well, we're not going to talk about Pokken, because everyone's played Pokken, unless you want to talk about five additional characters.
We didn't bother playing it today. We had more pressing issues, new things to try out. So
maybe such as Fire Emblem Warriors.
Yeah. Hey, look, so that game. I don't know what you guys. I know Ryan. I know you were a big fan of Hyrule Warriors. I became a fan of Hyrule Warriors too after being totally skeptical when first seeing it. But my brother ended up buying it, and I played it a ton over at his house, and I ended up buying it myself too. It's really good. It's the same sort of gameplay look that you've come to expect from the Warrior series. But there are a few little weird mixes thrown in, because Fire Emblem is, a lot of the battles in Fire Emblem lately have been about pairing up, right? You can gain, stat boosts and have sort of special attacks, and the whatever warrior you pair up with in Fire Emblem can help you out sometimes with an added attack. And this has sort of a weird mechanic where you can encounter another warrior on the battlefield, and you can pair up with them, and you can kind of use both of them at the same time. It's sort of weird.
It also has characters exclusive to this game and this game only, apparently.
Yeah, I didn't ask the Nintendo rep about that. I was too busy. I was engrossed in it. It's actually a more beautiful looking game than Hyrule Warriors is. I'm not going to say that it's leaps and bounds above it, but it's totally noticeable that this is a more powerful game. But yeah, I thought that those two people looked very, very similar to the Fire Emblem Heroes characters, whose names escape me at the moment. The two sort of main characters of that series, of that game, mobile game. They look very similar to that.
The two new characters are Chrome and Tiki, I believe, and they even got their own amiibo figures. And so I was watching the Treehouse live event when they were playing the game, and I wasn't too interested in the game until I watched the live footage, and it actually, like, you're right, Patrick, it looks amazing. Like, it really does look really good. But what I'm really interested in knowing is how it controls, because it just feels like the combat is so smooth, and that's what I'm like. I mean, I know the game looks good. I know it's based on Fire Emblem, but how's the actual gameplay, the controls? Does it move?
Absolutely, yeah. It moves very smoothly, and it's very easy to pull off combos, just like, especially since I was familiar with Hyrule Warriors already and I played enough of that game. Pulling off combos where you start to juggle just 30 enemies at once is it feels like butter. I mean, it felt great. It felt perfect, really, as far as if you've played a Warriors game before, you're going to be fine with this one. It's, Hyrule Warriors controlled well. This one also controls well. It didn't feel like slippery or anything like that to me. And it just feels satisfying mowing guys down.
I'm guessing nobody lined up to play FIFA.
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay. So
I played it at the very end.
I need to know. Cause I love my FIFA. Right. And I'm not too interested in the story mode. I mean, at this point in time, like, I just want to get my new FIFA just so I can play with my nephew and or nephews. And so I'm just wondering, how does it handle on the Switch? Because clearly the reason why I want to buy on the Switch is because we can play anywhere on the go. But how does it run?
It handles great. All right. I can honestly say, like, I know I'm going to be buying FIFA 18. I haven't bought a FIFA game since 2002, and that was on the GameCube. I used to play a lot on the 360 with one of my friends. I think it was FIFA 2000. Or I don't know, they might have been 05 or something like that, or 07. But this played great. Like, and the new sort of, like, I even got to know right off the bat some of the new moves that you can do, which is like some new tackling moves and things like that. Dude, I scored a goal on this guy. He looked at me and he was like, "This guy doesn't know anything about soccer. This guy doesn't know anything about FIFA." Because I was basically admitting such. And boom, I took him down the field and nailed it with a perfect cross header right into the goal. It felt smooth, man. I enjoyed playing that a lot. It was good to get back to it. Everything felt great. It controlled perfectly. It looked really good too. I mean, look, it's not Frostbite. It's not going to look, you're not going to see beads of sweat running down some guy's face, but it looks like the kind of FIFAs that we had before that. Or maybe even a step above those a little bit, because we were playing it on television. I wasn't playing it on the handheld version. It looked pretty good. So it's not Frostbite, doesn't have the journey, but if you like FIFA and you want to play FIFA on the go, this is the home, what had been the home experience before the recent FIFAs, this is that on the go.
So, because you actually wrote this really great article on the website, and you actually wrote the article before playing the game. And so I was reading through your article, and I didn't realize, for example, that it's going to run at 60 frames per second, and apparently it has, according to your article, it has improved gameplay.
The handling that they brought to the other versions, the PS4 and the Xbox One versions, those are also coming over to this one as well. So all the new moves and things like that, like there's new tackles, there's a new cross, I believe. I didn't get to try that one out because I was still getting used to the buttons. FIFA always takes a little while for me to grasp because there's so many different things you can do. I was just sticking to like straight passes and, you know, that's pretty much it. But it does have, yeah, all those new moves the director of the game said are going to be on the Switch version.
So then what do we have left apart from Mario, which I want to save for last?
I got to check out Harvest Moon, Light of Hope, or Hope of Light.
You would know.
And so that was really fun, though. The version that they had me on used a Steam controller, which I was very uncomfortable with. It had like 1,000 different buttons, but it is coming to the Switch. And they were talking about multiplayer, which I think would be a new thing for a Harvest Moon game. And so I fell in love with that. I think it's super charming that they're going kind of back to the old 2D top-down style of Harvest Moon. And it's just in time for, I think it's their 20th anniversary.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, man. I like Harvest Moon. I'm pretty excited for that game.
It's a good Animal Crossing substitute for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're going to get Animal Crossing. It's just a question of when. I mean, we're getting Pokemon, for crying out loud. Animal Crossing is on its way.
Okay, before we get on to the big event, I just want to give a little small shout-out to the Salmon Rush mode from Splatoon 2. It had its own little booth just for that. They were playing normal Splatoon 2 matches elsewhere, but you had to wait in line to play Salmon Rush. And I got to say, it's actually – I mean, it looked kind of fun, diverting in the trailer, but after playing it, I could see that there being some real depth to this thing. I actually liked – there's a lot going on in this little mini mode game that they've got. Quite a bit, and I could see myself playing it a lot. It's four-player cooperative, and basically it goes in three stages, and you're being assaulted by stuff, but it's not simply a tower defense where your only goal is to shoot as many enemies as possible. There are all sorts of things where you're collecting these eggs that are required. You're harvesting eggs, essentially, and these enemies are coming out of the depths of the ocean to take their eggs back and kill you. There are, like, mini-boss fights all over the place. There's a bizarre snake thing, mechanical snake that sprays bad color ink at you that killed me, like, 5 times. It had the scientist.
Is that a metaphor? Nintendo,
all the Nintendo reps had, like, lab coats on at this station, and he was kind of chuckling at how many times I was getting destroyed by this snake. I'm like Indiana Jones, man. I hate snakes. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was our group. It was kind of fun, like, just going in there with a group of strangers and figuring out what exactly you're supposed to do and how best to not only defend our little platform, but then do all the tasks that we needed to. It's shaping up to be a fun mode and just something that shouldn't be overlooked when Splatoon 2 is talked about.
Yeah, I can't wait for this. I'm going to play it for sure. I haven't gotten the chance to try it out yet, but it looked really, really cool. And man, just watching people play Splatoon, what did they call it? The Splatoon 2 International Tourney or whatever was on. And it's just fun watching people play that game, let alone getting to play it yourself. So Splatoon 2 already has me way sold, but I'm glad to hear that that's a fun new mode.
All right. And so I need to know, everyone needs to know, how is Super Mario Odyssey?
I think I can firmly say that it is probably my most anticipated game of the year now that I've played it. It kind of blew me away. I, for starters, got all the way up to the front of the, demo station and was like, wait a minute, there's motion controls? Has Nintendo said there's motion controls once? Did I just not pay attention? Did I miss this? But I never heard anything about motion controls. So I was like, that's cool. I'm curious to try that out. But then just playing around with the hat, throwing it at enemies, possessing them, it immediately proved to me that, like, Nintendo is the master of taking an idea not only, like, one step further, but, like, three steps further. Because not only does the hat change combat entirely for a Mario game, because you suddenly have range and you can control it with motion controls. If you hold it down, it stays out longer. There's all sorts of techniques with the hat. But then on top of that, every single different character that you possessed with the hat plays entirely differently. And so you have tons and tons of game mechanics built into this game that way exceed just a different suit for Mario. Like, it kind of puts to shame any different suit that he might get. On top of it being a massive open world that you'd never have to leave, and you can go exploring everywhere and unlocking different areas, and it kind of blew me away. It's totally different. So
I watched a bit of the Treehouse footage, and my question is, like, okay, when you have the hat and you get different abilities, is the hat taking an ability sort of like the way Kirby imitates an ability of his enemies, and or is it just that throughout the game you find new abilities?
You're straight up possessing these things like you're a poltergeist. The hat has got some kind of like brain sucking mechanism where it attaches itself to the enemy and you become the enemy, essentially, or Mario's soul goes into that enemy and you control them like a puppet. So it's not even like you're getting powers, you're taking over. I actually asked the Nintendo rep there.
You're basically throwing a Metroid at them.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. This hat is an all-powerful being. That's all. It should be feared, frankly. I'm kind of surprised that Mario's okay with it being on his head, because for all we know, it is controlling him.
And it has been for the entire history of all of Mario. We now know that Mario before was just an ordinary guy, and this hat has been possessing him since, you know, Super Mario Bros. It's a fact.
Well, one thing that I took away from, so I played, Tim, I don't know which, there were two stages that you were allowed to play, right? So one was New Donk City, and the other one was that sort of Day of the Dead, sort of desert setting. I played the New Donk City one, and that is just like a, it's like an open world. It's a smaller version of an open world, obviously, but it reminded me of Breath of the Wild type design in that there are little surprises around every corner. There are mini games that just don't seem like they would normally be in a Mario game. I mean, there was one where I played, I took over this guy. I possessed this mannequin human being that are populating these places, and they're all wearing suits and fedoras for some reason. Like it's the, you know, the T-Men, City of T-Men. I possessed him, and I started playing with this little RC car that got me a piece of moon, which is what you're supposed to collect. Or, you know, I was walking around finding these band members that were hidden all over the city because I was supposed to get them for Paulina, who is the mayor of New Donk City. There were just a bunch of weird little things. You could play jump rope, and I did. I played jump rope in the park. It was...
Oh, really?
It was really, really bizarre. It didn't feel like... You know, in previous 3D Mario games, you always kind of knew your objective, right? So even if you were playing the same world in a different way, you were always going for a different star. And you knew that that star was your objective. Well, that's not really the case here. You get a moon, and then you just keep a piece of moon, and then you just keep playing. You just keep exploring the world. There's really, I've never seen a Mario game that had this much of an emphasis on exploration, which is very,
it is straight the Breath of the Wild of the Mario world. And like, there's no way around that. And just in watching you, just watching Patrick play, I watched Patrick jump rope. I watched him get on a moped. I watched him leap off a skyscraper into a pool down below.
That was like total action movie style, Tim. It was awesome.
So everyone on the internet is talking about the sky, because apparently, like, on the actual game floor, a lot of people noted that when you look up into the sky, it looks like Mario's actually trapped in a dome, because there's like there are like gridded lines, and so a lot of people assume that what you're playing is just one world of many, which would make the game massive, and or they would just add in more quote unquote worlds with, say, for example, DLC, the way they're doing it, sort of like with the Zelda game. Did you guys notice that?
Yes, it's like you're in the Truman Show. Like that's kind of it's very weird.
That's actually pretty apt.
And the whole thing has this bizarre feel. It has, everything has a surreal, unreal feeling to it. I have never played a Mario game that's this weird. It's quite possibly the weirdest Nintendo game that I've ever played. The ideas that they came up with in this one, I don't understand where their minds were at. But I'm saying this in the absolute most positive way that I can, because I find it to be amazing. Everything controlled great. Mario can fly all over the city, bounce off of taxi cabs. Like Tim said, I jumped off a skyscraper to another skyscraper that had a rooftop pool and landed in the pool. Like it was an amazing feat of for Mario. But it was just like fun to play around in his little world, much like Breath of the Wild.
It's interesting that you bring up the Truman Show, because it feels like there's, like, when I'm watching, like, the game footage, there's, like, moments that feel, like, lifted from, like, classic movies. And, like, it has, like, this, like, when you're in, what is it called, Donk City, it, of course, has that, like, New York City vibe, but, like, New York City, like, in, like, the 40s or 50s. And then it has, like, this musical, like, feel to it, especially with the trailer we got. Like, it's, like, it harkens back to some of the musicals starring, like, Cary Grant or... I don't know, like Grace Kelly or one of those actors, right?
Well, but everyone is wearing suits and fedoras, and so it is kind of like a callback to a different era. But it's also a callback. It's clearly a callback to Mario's origin, or excuse, like Jumpman's origin in Donkey Kong, where it's New Donk City, and Pauline is the mayor, and they're having fun with it. And I asked the guy at the demo station if at any point a giant monkey throws barrels at you. And he said, you know what? I don't know. But in this open world demo, like, it's entirely possible. You'll find all sorts of secrets. Like, there's just so much here. And I haven't even seen any of it.
Even his outfits, it's like a callback to previous Mario pixel, like, game design characters, whatever I'm trying to say. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some of his outfits look like just modernized versions, like better graphics of, well, Mario from the past. Like you mentioned Jumpman.
I've got to mention right now that during my playtime, I did the sand world or whatever it was called. And right away, I ran to a shop and bought a fedora and a pinstripe suit to put Mario in, because you can do that apparently.
Gangsta style.
Which was great. And at some point, there's this really cool mechanic where you enter a pipe that is, like, it looks blocky, like sort of like a 64 era pipe or something, and you enter it, and then you are straight a mural, like in A Link Between Worlds, and it's all of a sudden 8-bit Mario, right? And then you're doing this, like, 2D side-scrolling business, like, on a 3D surface. It's fascinating and great, but I was still wearing that suit, and I was so stoked on that.
Somebody tweeted this earlier today where they were showing pictures of Mario in his suits in Super Mario Odyssey, and then they were putting pictures of Mario from older games. And when I say older games, I'm talking about like NES Open Tournament Golf, like a game from 1987, or P-Cross 2, or the Mario X game that came out for Game Boy. And basically apparently all of the outfits from any game that featured Mario, like any outfit that Mario wore in any game in Nintendo's history, is apparently supposed to be in this game, which is crazy.
It's so funny going into the clothing stores. I mean, there are a ton of things. I never thought I'd be dressing Mario up. It's so weird. It is so much like Breath of the Wild and all the different Link outfits you can have. But yes, you can dress Mario up in a ton of different things. It's the whole game doesn't feel like a regular Mario game, other than the fact that he moves and jumps and that all the controls all feel like Mario. The game does not feel like a Mario game, but it feels fresh, and in many ways, just how Breath of the Wild felt like fresh Zelda, this feels like fresh Mario.
So do you think they're going to add in amiibo support then for this and have different outfits for you to unlock?
Well, they've already released amiibo, right? But why would you need the amiibo for outfits if you can buy the outfits in a game?
Well, I was talking, you know, more like other Nintendo franchises putting in like how we did with Breath of the Wild, how we got different ages of Link's outfits.
Greninja suit Mario?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I mean, you could have like a Link suit or something like that. You could scan the Link amiibo and Mario could wear a Link outfit.
And I mean, they kind of do that with Super Mario Maker, where you can just scan in different characters, so.
But what exactly is the story in this game? I mean, there's like a giant T-Rex, Bowser is getting married.
Dude,
like,
I don't know.
That is not a part of the demo. And it's fascinating that no one has any idea, and I love it, because the game is so bizarre, and... Yeah, Bowser's getting married to Peach, and I think you have to stop it. And something about a ghost hat turning into your hat, turning into a demon possessing everyone that you throw it at. I don't know. I have no idea.
I didn't know what was going on in the part that I played. I mean, I couldn't tell. Pauline needed jazz band members that were scattered around the city for some reason. I just there was a scene in a nightclub. There's a lot of talking in this, by the way, if you want to stop and chat with everybody. Like, a lot of the characters in the city, you walk past them and they have something to say, right? And you can either choose to stay and listen or just keep going on. It certainly doesn't break the pace if you want to play the game quickly like a platformer, but if you really want to see what's going on, this world is kind of alive and has things going on. It's really, again, weird. I'm just going to keep saying that. It's weird.
Did you guys play with the Joy-Cons or a Pro Controller? How did it work?
Joy-Cons.
We had two separated Joy-Cons, yeah, so that we could use the motion controls, which felt great. You can flick the Joy-Con and Mario will throw his hat. You can also hold the ZL button and shake the Joy-Con, and Mario will do this cool new roll maneuver that he has where he'll like roll forward, making you move even faster, and it felt great. You can sort of control the movement of the hat with the motion. It's cool.
Interesting. When I was doing it, I didn't actually flick the Joy-Con to roll. I just held down the button, and that allowed me to stay like rolled up, and then I built up speed going down hills, and I was using that to get around quickly.
Oh, so apparently you can do all sorts of stuff with it.
Yeah, I did notice during the Treehouse event that Mario can actually possess a Bullet Bill and then ride on the Bullet Bill, but apparently you can only ride on the Bullet Bill for a certain amount of time because it will explode if you stay on it.
Yeah, it seemed
to be like you could ride on it for a tiny bit, or yeah, if you ran into anything, you would immediately explode, and then it didn't damage you, but you lost the ability.
And then your soul like pops out of whatever thing that you're the Mario pops out of whatever he was possessing.
And the pixelated warp pipe that you guys were talking about, where it turns into like an 8-bit self for, I guess, does it turn into like an 8-bit video game, or
it's just like Link Between Worlds? You know how you sort of go into the wall and then all of a sudden you'd be on a 2D plane. So this would be the same thing. You'd go into this warp pipe and all of a sudden you'd appear on the wall that was next to the warp pipe. You'd appear as 8-bit Mario from the original Super Mario Brothers. And you'd be playing side-scrolling Mario platforming on that. And that platforming would usually help you scale the 3D thing that you needed to get up. Like, there was one that had a tower, and you went around the tower on a 2D plane. And that helped you get up to the top of the tower.
I honestly think, because, like, you know the director of this game, Kenta Motokuro? Like, apparently he brainstormed all of these ideas when he went on vacation to Mexico. I bet you this dude went to Mexico, took a lot of drugs, you know? Totally. So he took a lot of drugs. Just brainstormed these ideas and went back to Japan and developed this game. Because it looks bonkers.
I'm telling you, it plays bonkers.
It's so fun.
Yes,
it's
it is.
So fun, though. It rejuvenates the play style of Mario, just in that you're throwing hat and possessing things. But then it also has that super, super polished movement of 3D world or galaxy on top of all sorts of other bonkers, weird locations and ideas, all just thrown into this chaotic open world game. It's sensational so far.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge platformer fan. I was telling Patrick this earlier, but this right here immediately sold it for me. Like, I want to play this game right now. I want to play more of it because it is so much fun.
All right, well, I guess we're running a little long here on the podcast, and we are going to be recording a second part for the show. So is there any closing remarks, anything you want to tell our fans about, anything about Mario or the event or anything in general?
I'm tired. I can tell them that. I think the three of us are probably tired and hungry right now. E3 you got to have your energy up for something like that. But the game so far, Mario Odyssey, it's been a treat being able to experience what that game is like. I can't explain. It's really going to have me hyped. I have a feeling this could be the... I hate doing stuff like this because everybody overhypes things, but I think this is going to be the best 3D Mario game in a long, long time, and that might include Galaxy.
I think you might be right. I think this might surpass Galaxy. I think it is the Breath of the Wild of the Mario series. It's just going to rejuvenate it. It's going to bring everyone's faith way back up and just make us question and eagerly anticipate what's next. Where do you go from here? Because you just opened a door so wide and threw us all for a loop.
Right. I only got to see, play it for 10 minutes, but what I did get to see while I was waiting in that line, it was just like everyone's playing this completely different, and there are secrets among secrets among secrets. Like, there's so much to this game to explore that you'll be playing this for hours and hours and still you won't see everything.
Yeah. But on the positive side, until Mario comes, I saw a couple of other games on there that I'm looking forward to as well. You know, I think FIFA is going to be great. I know I'm picking that one up. Fire Emblem Warriors was outstanding, and Splatoon 2. I can't wait. So at least three really good games till Mario.
Well, I don't know, guys. I think I might actually pick up ARMS. I know you guys won't. I think I'm going to pick it up. And then we got Splatoon 2. We got FIFA. Odyssey's coming out in October. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, we're going to be pretty busy for the rest of the year. Xenoblade. I mean, yep. God knows how many hours that's going to take up.
I'm telling you guys now, Mario plus Rabbids Battle Kingdom, or whatever it's called, is legitimately fun and intriguing.
Yeah, so, I'll be picking that up.
I'll buy it.
When does that game come out again?
August 27th or something.
21st.
29th, I thought it was.
Let's all right. Throw out a 20-something date and just leave it at that.
End of August.
It's in August.
End of August. All right. Well, Nintendo, if you're listening, do send us some free copies because we like free games. Well, thank you, Tim, Patrick, and Ryan. I'm so sorry I could not be there live with you guys.
Dude, it would have been awesome, but... we will get to do it one of these times. We'll meet up.
Maybe next year. PAX West. Come to Seattle, guys. So that does it for our episode. Ricky, thank you for questioning. And thank you to Ryan and Patrick for a fun day at E3. Looking forward to the rest of the week. And, of course, looking forward to our next E3 special, our next episode, which could be coming sooner rather than later, depending on how exciting a time we have with Nintendo, who is giving us a tour of the show floor. So look forward to next episode. Outside of that, why don't we start with you, Ryan? Where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at RPCappy, and you can find me on Xbox, PlayStation, and on the Switch at Captain Cappy. I also host another podcast with you on the site called Game Boys, and you can find us at Game Boys Co-op on Twitter.
Which will also be having an E3 special, which should be pretty fun, all about the co-op games that we're playing. Patrick, how about you? Where are you online?
You can sometimes find me on Twitter at the NExpress Twitter account. That's at NExpress Nintendo. And, of course, be sure to check out Goombastomp.com. I will be writing some impressions pieces of the games that I played today. So definitely check those out. They should be up by the time this is airing.
Ricky, how about you? Where are you online?
On Twitter, my handle is Sorted Cinema. Yes, I've decided to return to Twitter and actually get a little personal this time, but I do still handle the Goomba Stomp Twitter account, which of course is Goomba Stomp Mag. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Tumblr. You can check us out on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Pinterest, and you name it, all over the internet. Visit our website, GoombaStomp.com, because we can use your support, and we will be back shortly, probably in a few days, with the second part of this show. And I think that's it.
And I'm Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, or you can find me on Goomba Stomp. Ollie will also have some impression pieces for E3 sooner rather than later, as well as an episode of Game Boy sooner rather than later, all about E3 as well. But first, Ryan and I got to go play some more co-op, and in general, Patrick, Ryan and I have to play more fun stuff at E3, so stay tuned to Goomba Stomp. Stay tuned to our site for all sorts of news and impressions from all of our talented writers. And thank you guys for listening.